Amen. Thank you so much, Ethan. Lovely special number. Please take your Bible tonight. Turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs from the sparrow. And it also talks, of course, obviously, the theme is God's care for us. Now, we've been speaking the last several weeks in regard to what the Proverbs has to say concerning finances. Last week, I spoke on a biblical view of wealth. I was not able to complete that last week, so we're going to continue with that in just a moment. But Proverbs 27, is this not on yet? There we go. How about that? Is that on now, Don? Thank you. Proverbs chapter 27, please, in your Bible. Part 2, a biblical view of wealth. But before we begin, I've been enjoying just reading each Wednesday night a few verses from the Proverbs and making some comments, kind of as a beginning point, and also to give you an idea of the interesting flavor of the Proverbs. Proverbs is a book that you can read over and over again, and as you read it each consecutive time, the Holy Spirit is going to highlight something different for you in your own life that will bring these words just to light. And so I want you to see that this evening. Proverbs 27, let's look at verse number 12. It goes along well with what I'm going to speak on tonight. Proverbs 27, verse 12, a prudent man. Now, a prudent man is one who is wise, and prudence always has a view toward the future. It is not just wisdom in how something is accomplished, but it is wisdom with a view toward the future. A prudent man seeth the evil and hideth himself. In other words, he senses something evil is coming. Evil there does not necessarily have reference, probably does not have reference to moral evil, but rather to evil circumstances. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. I think of the earthquake that took place in Hawaii just a few days ago. They said that, and thankfully no one was killed in the earthquake, but they said that many people on the island were not prepared. They had not adequately prepared from the standpoint of having survival rations on hand. And what was mentioned, I know a lot of us probably don't keep a lot of survivalist gear on hand here in central Indiana, but it was mentioned that Hawaii is often threatened by hurricanes. And so the citizens of Hawaii, the various islands, are encouraged to have survival supplies ready and in hand. And very few actually did, though for years they've been encouraged about this. Very few were prepared. They weren't thinking along the lines of an earthquake, but the supplies would work just as well for either natural disaster. Well, verse number 12, a prudent man foreseeth the evil, is thinking ahead, making preparation. Tonight we're going to talk about that in relationship to money. Verse 13, take his garment that is surety for a stranger, that is one who co-signs for a loan or is a guarantor for a loan. Take a pledge of him for a strange woman. In other words, you're going to lose your shirt, so to speak, if you sign, co-sign for a loan. Verse 14, I love this verse, by the way. This is a good verse. My wife quoted this verse to me one time. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. My wife quoted that verse to me one time because she said I was loud in the morning. I am a morning person. I am a happy morning person. And have you ever been around somebody that was so happy they got up really early in the morning and sang loudly? You know, at other times you'd be glad to hear their song, but not so early in the morning. The blessing becomes a curse if you're not a morning person. And so Kelly quoted that verse to me on one occasion early on in our marriage, and I hope I corrected the problem from there. But that's a beautiful verse, how true it is. Oh, verse number 15, here's a good one. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Ever hear drip, 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 drip on a rainy day? Wonder where it's dripping in the house? The Bible says a contentious woman is like that. Did you know that our young people in our youth group, they wrote a song that is based on this verse of Scripture? Did you know that? How many knew that? Did you know that? The song goes like this. A contentious woman on a rainy day. How does it go? It goes, a continual dropping on a rainy day, and a contentious woman are alike. A continual dropping on a rainy day, and a contentious woman are alike. For one goes drip, 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 and the other goes yak, 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 yak. But anyway, they wrote a song about it, and scripture songs from the Faith Baptist Young People. All right, moving right along. I thought that was cute, but a good verse of scripture. Verse 16. Whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind and the ointment of his right hand, which berieth itself. What does that mean? It's impossible to keep her under wraps is what that means. She's always revealed because she's contentious. Verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Say, that's a great verse. We are like the people that we're around. If you don't want to be negative, don't be around negative people. If you want to be positive, on the other hand, be around positive people. Then verse 18, because this fits again with what I'll speak on briefly this evening. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. To keep the fig tree means to tend it, to be careful to prune it, and to fertilize it, and to water it. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. When you put forth effort in any area of life, there will always come reward. You say, preacher, what does that have to do with your lesson? Tonight we're going to consider a biblical view of wealth. This is part two. Look at the introduction, please, if you will, of your lesson outline. In the previous lesson, we learned both the limitations of wealth and some dangers inherent in wealth. However, the Bible does not represent material prosperity as negative. I do want you to understand this. The Bible view is balanced. Remember, we said it is not money that is the root of all evil. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. There is nothing wrong with money in your pocket as long as money never gets into your heart. God's view of wealth is balanced. He warns about the dangers, but he also highlights the benefits in the book of Proverbs. Biblically managed, material prosperity can be a tremendous blessing and ministry tool. Now let me say this. Somebody in this room will say, well, Pastor, I certainly could not be regarded as wealthy. In reality, you are fabulously wealthy compared to just three generations or so ago. It is amazing how overall the standard has raised. Remember, please, if you would, the word wealth is a relative term. How many of you own or drove or rode today to church in an automobile? How many of you? Look at that. Look at that. Now, let me say this. Brother Bert, you didn't. You walked, didn't you? Okay. But you have one. You have that Trailblazer, which is a Chevy. And, of course, being a Chevy, it's beyond anything Solomon ever imagined in his wildest dreams. Probably wouldn't have owned a Ford for anything in the world. But Solomon, in all of his glory, with all of his money, Solomon didn't have what is so common to each one of us, an automobile. And can you imagine if anyone had an automobile on that day, how remarkable something like that would have been? Today, that's commonplace. Why? Prosperity is commonplace. Wealth is relative. So please understand that. Now, the Bible says that there are certain benefits that come with wealth. Again, there is nothing wrong with being wealthy. In fact, that is a positive thing if the wealth has been gotten in an honorable way and it is biblically managed. What are some of the benefits of wealth according to the book of Proverbs? Well, first of all, financial security. Financial security. Proverbs 10, verse 15. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. Now, listen carefully. It is never appropriate for us to trust in our wealth and not to trust in the Lord. However, it is appropriate to set aside portions of our money to act as a safety or security net. Look at point number one. Wealth carefully set aside for a rainy day provides security against unforeseen financial pressures. Everyone listen, please. It is not a lack of faith to save money. In fact, saving money is scriptural. Being frugal and careful with your resources is scriptural. There is nothing wrong with an individual who says, well, you know, I'm getting my paycheck and I'm going to give the Lord his tithe and I'm going to give my offerings over and above the tithe, but I'm also going to set aside a little bit for myself. I'm putting it back in the bank for savings. There is nothing unscriptural about it. The Bible teaches that that security net is therefore a rainy day, and it becomes, as it were, a strong city. Look at point two. Saving even a small amount of one's income provides a hedge against the inevitable unforeseen. Notice, inevitable unforeseen. Inevitable means it's coming. Unforeseen means you don't know what it is. When we talk about money, isn't that the truth? The moment you think you've got it under control, something comes right out of the blue, and all of a sudden you need extra money. I've listed some ideas there, car repairs, medical expenses, etc. By the way, I would recommend that every family in this room have a printed paper budget that you follow. And as you are able to do so within that budget, budget money for car repair. Now, really, this is really practical. You know, you own a car. It is a guarantee it's going to break down. Ford, Chevy, Dodge, probably couldn't even drive it here today, but whatever it is, it's a guarantee it will break down. We're crazy not to set a little bit of money aside for car repairs. Do you ever walk into the car repair shop in fear and trembling? I used to work at one, so let me testify, you ought to when you walk in. Fear and trembling. I went in the other day for something, and do you know what the bill came to? $14. Wasn't that wonderful? It was a punctured tire. They fixed the little puncture in the tire. $14. When the lady said, that'll be $14, I said, boy, I bet you don't get many $14 bills in this place. And she laughed. I said, what would you say the average is? She said, it's very, very common. Usually people leave here if they've had a repair issue, not just maintenance, oil change, or things like that, but a repair issue, usually $500 on up. How many know what I'm talking about? You understand? Sometimes you almost feel good about it if you got out for under $500 from a repair issue in any shop. Because that is inevitable, a wise man will put aside money for that so that when the car repair comes, it isn't as painful because money has been set aside a little bit at a time. Now let me give you some real practical advice. Point three, Dave Ramsey, I've recommended his book, The Total Money Makeover. Dave Ramsey recommends everyone maintain a basic emergency fund of $1,000. Now let me tell you, in today's dollars, that's not much of an emergency, okay? But $1,000, this is what he recommends, a basic emergency fund. Now, what do you do with that? Don't touch that $1,000. Well, you know, Pastor, Christmas came. That's not an emergency. Emergencies, because Christmas comes every year, December 25th. It's not an emergency. Emergencies are emergencies, and they're only emergency. Pastor, well, how do I discern? If you ever wonder what an emergency is, call me, and I'll tell you whether it's an emergency or not. An emergency is something that is a must. It's required. It was unforeseen. Set that money aside, Dave Ramsey says. Why? It's in accord to Proverbs 10:15, building that strong city. After one has paid off all of his debt, Dave recommends that everyone work toward a fully funded emergency fund consisting, look at this, 3 to 6 months of salary saved only for emergencies. You say, preacher, that would be thousands of dollars in the bank. It would be. And I understand that not everyone can do that, and I'm nowhere near that. But understand something, it is wise if you're able. By the way, you'll never do that if you're purchasing things with credit cards. You just simply won't do it. Don't buy consumables on credit cards. Avoid the use of credit cards altogether if you can. It's just good advice. But it is good to have some money set aside. The Bible teaches that. Why? Because the destruction of the poor, the Bible says, is their poverty. What destroys poor people? Their poverty. Point four. Poverty is a vicious cycle of destruction. Children inherit the legacy of poverty from their parents because they mirror their parents' attitudes and actions regarding financial matters. Poor people don't need more money. They need proper financial training and education. Now, everyone look this way. The idea for defeating poverty is not Robin Hood. Rob from the rich, give to the poor. That never works. The proper way to defeat, and by the way, you'll never completely defeat poverty. You say, well, I'm a preacher of the Great Society, LBJ. No, it didn't work. You will never defeat poverty. You know why? Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always. Okay, so you can't defeat poverty completely. There'll always be folks that are poor, but listen carefully. Giving someone money does not help them. Teaching them how to handle the money that they have, that is the ultimate method of helping an individual financially. Okay, with, oh, Pastor so-and-so, they're in a huge financial debacle, what can we do? Well, listen, it's not the fact that you give them more money. They must be trained to handle money properly. Otherwise, poverty becomes a vicious cycle and is destructive. So financial security is a benefit of wealth. Point B, what else are benefits of wealth? Point B, independence and influence are benefits of wealth. This is taught in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 22, verse 7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. We looked at this verse in a different context, but consider it this way tonight. Wealthy people, as a general rule, will tend to have control over others. Properly used, their wealth can bless and provide for others, but there is always an element of control. Now, it's a preacher, explain that to me, okay? Sam Walton, before he died, of course, was a fabulously wealthy individual, the founder of Walmart. But he also was the source for others to gain wealth, employees, thousands of employees. Now, did you hear that Walmart is invading China? How many heard about that? Did you hear about that? And they're selling live eels there at the Walmart. That would be interesting if they offered that at Plainfield. Yes, they're coming. They bought a Chinese big box warehouse store, a whole series of stores. Walmart's coming into China now, and they're teaching American friendliness and American dealing with customers and all these things. Walmart, Sam Walton was fabulously wealthy, but his wealth trickled down to benefit now thousands of employees worldwide. However, those who run Walmart, the wealthy ones who run it, guess what? They still exercise control over those who are below them, even though their wealth is benefiting those below them. Does everybody follow this? Wealthy people have a level of independence and influence. It's simply a fact of life. Point two, wealthy people are independent from some external control. You say, Richard, what does that mean? Wealthy people don't tend to have a lot of bosses over them. That's external control. However, wealthy people both build and maintain wealth by being their own tough boss. Everybody listen to this. Some say, oh, I wish Ed McMahon would knock on my door with a big publisher's clearinghouse, check for $10 million. Boy, I wouldn't do another thing the rest of my life. I'd just sit back and live off the fat of the land and enjoy myself. You do it for about 3 years, and the money would be gone. Why? Because the whole attitude that you'd never do another thing the rest of your life is the fastest way to losing everything you ever had. Wealthy people understand that while they may not have external controls sometimes, a series of bosses that are above them, that they must be their own most strict and rigorous boss in order to maintain their position. Then look at point three, because this deals with the end of the verse. The borrower is the servant to the lender. Those who lending money, do not serve, they control. The loan department of a bank is not there to serve you. It is there to control you and your money. I want everybody to look at a loan this way. Pastor, we've got to have a loan. Okay, maybe there is something necessary to have a loan for, but don't go to the loan department thinking they are serving you. Oh, we had such wonderful customer service in the loan department. No, you didn't. When you went to the loan department, the Bible says it's as if you walked in and someone smiled real big and said, certainly, we'll be happy to fit you for these handcuffs. Nice service in the loan department. If every Christian would view credit this way, we'd be in a lot better shape as Christian people. Continue reading. Never get excited about being approved for a loan. Oh, it's a dangerous sign. Yippee, we got approved! You ought to be scared to death, even if you need the loan. you should be apprehensive. You know, let's say you're buying a big box item or buying real estate. Most of us could not afford to buy real estate in full or maybe buy a car in full. And you say, well, we have to buy it on loan and you get the best interest rate and you shop around. But people say, oh, yippee, I got approved. That's not the right attitude to have. You ought to be fearful of it and only seek it if it's absolutely essential. Never get excited. Signing the paper is always slavery. Only poor people get excited about credit approval. It's ultimately about attitude. People who are wealthy are leery of borrowing. It doesn't mean that they don't borrow, but their attitude is different. Is everyone following me on this? Their attitude is one of caution and leery. They walk circumspectly. They read and examine the fine print, and they feel like they're being trapped. Even if they're forced to do it, they feel like they're being trapped. There's nothing exciting about a loan, and we need to understand that. It's just an attitude, but it's an important one. Benefits of wealth. Look, if you will, at point C. Friends. Did you know wealthy people have friends? Well, Proverbs 19, verse 4 says, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Again, Proverbs 14, 20, the poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. Now, we use the word friends in quotation marks because while friends gained chiefly because of wealth are not true friends, they do comprise a network of influence and service indispensable to the wealthy. Understand this. We don't want to have friends that are our friends because we have money. But wealthy people will tend to gather associates around them who actually provide a network that is helpful at times. Wise men use the network of associations to build people, thereby increasing their own prosperity as a byproduct. Now watch this. Wise people who are wealthy do not use people, they build people. But in building people, they find that they themselves become more prosperous because they've expanded a network. Again, Walmart would be an example of this. You have one store, you have a group of employees. You treat the employees properly, the employees are pleasant to the customers. You're charging the customers a fair price. And by the way, I'm not a big personal fan of Walmart. I have nothing against it, except every time I go in there, my eyes burn and itch and water and my wallet tingles and unpleasant reaction I have. I believe I'm allergic to the place, but they treat their employees right. They charge a fair price for things. And on it goes. What happens? Their business grows based on that. So understand, it's important. It's vital to understand that when you build a network of friends, sometimes based on a financial connection, they may not be true friends in the sense of a close personal friend, but they may help with the network of prosperity. Now, why is this important? Because wealthy people always can get better deals on everything. Now listen up, please. Listen up. If you can pay cash for something, you automatically have the better deal. Automatically. Right off the top. If you walk into a furniture store and have cash to pay, everything in the store that is a regular priced item is 25% off. Everything. No, it isn't. Preacher doesn't say that on the tag. It doesn't have to say it on the tag. If you have cash, they'll give you 25% off. Well, Pastor, I tried that at a store and they said no. Go to the store down the street. I guarantee someone will sell cheaper for cash. Okay? Follow me on this. People who know people and are influential and have built these networks, they're always getting good deals. So, Pastor, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. That's all part of how it works. So understand, that's just a fact of life, and it's recorded for us in the Bible. Whether we think it's fair or not, it's just part of life. Continue point three. The poor, however, have neither resources nor the ability to gain prosperity. Therefore, wealthy sometimes view them as a burden. This is not scriptural, but it is unfortunately a reality of life. It's just how life works, and the Bible reflects the reality there. Let's look at some character qualities quickly that will tend toward wealth, according to the book of Proverbs. First of all, a right relationship with God. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Proverbs 15:16. If you were forced to choose between the two, wealth and a right relationship with God, or described in that verse as the fear of the Lord, it is always better to have the fear of the Lord than great treasure. Why? Because money is not the ultimate answer to life. However, you're not forced to choose. One can both fear the Lord and be prosperous. If you are forced to make a choice, it is better to fear the Lord. How do we illustrate that? Well, point number two, it would be better to remain poor while maintaining one's integrity than to sell out integrity for wealth gained through questionable business practices. Oh, preacher, you know, if I would just cut my standard of integrity a little bit, if I'd cheat a little or cut corners a little bit, boy, my pockets would be full of money. Okay, the fear of the Lord is better than great treasure. But now watch this. Consistently fear the Lord and obey His word, and over time, you'll know an increase in blessings. So please understand, a right relationship with God will tend toward wealth. And the most important wealth is godliness. Not only that, but godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. Proverbs 16, verse 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Understanding and wisdom are better than wealth. Wisdom is the attitude that leads to and maintains wealth. It is better to have the attitude. Why? If I have wisdom, I will not only eventually have material wealth, but I will have the ability to maintain and handle that wealth. Some people say, oh, if I would only win that publisher's clearinghouse. I don't like to use the lottery because you shouldn't be buying lottery tickets if you're an independent fundamental Baptist. It's ignorant, okay? The lottery is a tax on people who don't understand mathematics. That's exactly what it is. And by the way, it preys on the ignorant. It preys on the ignorant. And I can't stand to stand in line at a convenience store to pay for gasoline while Granny is scratching off her scratch-offs, hoping she's the big winner. If she were the big winner, she still wouldn't pay for my gas. I don't like to wait in line for that to happen. But someone says, oh, if I had a ton of money just dumped on me, that would be the answer. No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. The answer is to gain the wisdom of God. Because with God's wisdom, not only will you accumulate over time resources, you will know how to manage them. Now watch this. And you will have the wisdom so that your resources never manage you. Money will be your servant, not your master. That is why wisdom is so important. It's all about attitude. If you have money but don't have wisdom, that money won't last very long. Point two, wisdom is good when conventional vehicles of wealth fail. The wise man knows how to function prosperously in any economic climate. Did you know that sometimes economies fail? The vehicles for making money fail? Well, let me give you an illustration of this. People wonder sometimes why Jewish people are, they tend to be wealthy and prosperous people. Why Jewish people are professional people. There are a lot of doctors and lawyers among Jewish people. Do you know why that is? Because Jewish parents teach their children to have a profession that is a professional job not tied to a location. In other words, Jewish parents teach their children that their way of making money needs to be all up here in the mind, so that they can be a doctor in Poland, or they can be a doctor in Czechoslovakia, or they can be a doctor in the United States. Why do they teach this? Very few Jewish farmers, at least in foreign countries other than Israel, very few. Jewish people do not tie their making of money, their livelihood, to the ground because they have a history of being driven off the ground where they live. Germany, and by the way, anti-Semitism alive and well in Europe today, and Jewish people fearful in contemporary Europe today. Why? Because they've been a persecuted people. So the Jewish people teach their children, have your profession in your head. Be an engineer. Be a lawyer. Be a doctor. Be something that you can carry in your head. So if you're driven out of that country, you can practice in this other country. What are they saying? They're saying the key to livelihood is wisdom. It is knowing what to do, knowing how to act, carrying with you a profession, and that is better than gold. Sometimes conventional vehicles of wealth fail. The man with wisdom can prosper in any economic climate. Someone said, Pastor, you didn't live through the Great Depression. No, and a lot of people lost a lot of money. And a lot of other people who were wise made fabulous fortunes beyond anyone's wildest imagination as the Great Depression ground on. You see, what was the difference? Part of it was in wisdom, knowing what to do. Point C, what is another character quality that will tend toward wealth? This is interesting. A well-ordered home life will tend toward wealth. What does the Bible say? Proverbs 15:17. Better is a dinner of herbs, a vegetarian meal, where love is, than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. What does it mean? A humble meal served with love is preferable to extravagance in an atmosphere of hatred. But it goes beyond that. Love and support at home will tend to prosper one's vocation. A good home life allows the husband to concentrate on career success, thereby prospering the home. Love leads to prosperity, but love should never be traded for prosperity. Again, there is a dichotomy drawn in that verse, but it is typically an unnecessary dichotomy in today's understanding. You don't have to choose between this dinner of herbs with love and the stalled ox that means extravagance or prosperity. That is not typically our choice today, but the emphasis is there. If an individual is poor, they don't have money, it's better to have the love and the simplicity than it is to have the extravagance. But where there is love, where there is support, where there is a marriage that fosters and nurtures that kind of relationship, there will eventually be prosperity. Why? Because out of a loving home grows the inspiration to succeed. Pause with me, folks. Think about our kids for a minute. Think about our kids. Do you know we place our young people on a launching pad for success if they're in a home where there is love? It's a launching pad for their success. It's difficult sometimes for them to sort through a dysfunctional home. And sometimes in dysfunctionality, they will carry that baggage into life. And that baggage will be such that it will weigh them down and maybe even cause them not to be able to reach their potential. But where love is, there's the possibility of reaching potential. And the last character quality that will tend toward wealth, and I've just given you the verse, a good reputation is the quality. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Well, Pastor, do I have to make a choice between the two? No, that's not what the Bible is saying. But it's saying if you had to choose one or another, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Why is that? Listen carefully. It's more important that my name be right than that my wallet be fat. But again, let me say this. If I have a good reputation and apply biblical principles financially over time, I can have both a good name and a measure of material prosperity. I worked for a man in whose life I saw this exactly. An auto repair shop. I've told you about him before. Working in the managerial end of an auto repair shop, I understand that there are 1,001 ways that a shop owner can take you to the cleaners if he wants to do it. That's why I say you go into an auto shop and know those people. Be friends with those people. By the way, never make those people mad. How unwise is that? But this particular owner, a Christian man, godly man who loved the Lord Jesus, gave more than a tenth and supported Christian work and on and on and on. Honest, honest, honest as the day is long. And over again to make customers happy, I saw him, we used to call it, well, we'll eat that, meaning that we would take the loss on something just to make customers happy. What happened? He started out in a little rented building with two bays. The shop was much larger, but an ambulance company had rented most of the other bays. He had rented just two bays in a little rented building. When I worked for him, he had rented the entire building. The ambulance service company had moved somewhere else. He now had 8 active bays in a building that he was leasing. At a point in time while I was working for him, he bought the building outright from the owner, and so now owned this huge building and eight bays, and had eight or nine mechanics, depending on the particular time, worked on all manner of vehicles. And if you were to look today, the shop is still open, if you were to go and look at their appointment book for this week, this being Wednesday, I would have, if I were working there, have already filled appointments all the way through next Monday or Tuesday, would be completely filled. You say, why? Because this man's reputation for honesty, good work, and hard work, and if something wasn't quite right, making it right, this man's reputation was absolutely sterling. I guess what happened? As his good name was maintained by his ethics in his business prospered. Why is it better to have a good name than great riches? Because if you've got a good name, some measure of prosperity will come your way. Isn't the Bible a practical book? Wealth is not condemned in Scripture. It is not glorified. It is not exalted. The Bible says we're not to labor to be rich. But the balanced view is this. Money in your pocket is fine. Don't let it get into your heart. And if God should bless you, then use your blessing in a biblical way and watch Him multiply what you have. God is the God who determines this. If we'd learned this early on, follow Bible principles, we'd be a lot happier people. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word tonight and these principles. Lord, they're true statements from the Word of God. Some of them reflect human nature, simply recorded in pungent statements. Others, Lord, challenge us to do better, to live lives more pleasing to Thee, knowing that when we do right, right will receive a reward, even though right is always its own reward. Father, I pray that You'll bless our thinking tonight. Help us, Lord, to be balanced in this area. As You've blessed us with wealth, help us to use it for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. Help us especially, Lord, to always be ethical, to always be biblical in our view of these things, and to use all of these things as a tool, ultimately, to bring glory to our Savior. Bless, we pray, in the business session to follow in a little while. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.